East of the Sun, an arrangement borrowed from another of the visiting American teams that inspired Ted Heath's men, the Sam Donahue U.S. Navy Band. Even more direct help from America came when the trumpeter, arranger, conductor Tutti Camerata stopped by. Eventually, he would set up London Records and sell British music to America. But one of his first tasks was to work for J. Arthur Rank on a movie called London Town. It's now prized by collectors as a rare chance to see the British comedian Sid Field. But otherwise, as Camerata admitted, it wasn't much.
The only good thing that I remember about the film is that we were able to organize a band for Ted Heath, and it was a darn good band.
And all the better for Camerata's attentions, according to the great arranger Robert Farnon.
He used to woodsham them for hours, and the film company paid for it, but he, meanwhile, rehearsed the band to absolute perfection. He, being a playing musician himself, he taught the brass how to fill their instruments and blow them properly. And I think he was a great influence on the band at that time, which was about 1946.
Camerata reckoned British bands in general were weak in the rhythm section and in the basic tools of their trade.
The other problem was that the brass didn't have good equipment. The horns were small bore horns. The mouthpieces were small bore, and it sounded like a pinched sound until they were able to get some larger bore horns and so forth, why the brass sound wasn't up to what it should be. We were very fortunate in Ted's band because we had Jack Parnell, and he was halfway there. He already had a lot of the idea, and he needed encouragement, and I think he was a very fine drummer.
There were very few drummers about, luckily for me. Around that time, all the big band leaders were more businessmen they were musicians, but not great. I mean, Ambrose had a wonderful band, but he was the worst violinist you ever heard in your life, you know. But dear old Ted was a wonderful player as well, and I think that made a big difference.
Jack Parnell, whom we heard featured in Not So Quiet, Please, by the way, also had contacts, one at least that was vital to the band's security and development.
I was very, very, very lucky in having an uncle, Val Parnell, who was very, very influential in the entertainment business. He was the managing director of Moss Empires, which included the London Palladium. And Kenny and I and the Ted Heath Band and my uncle put on the first swing sessions at the London Palladium.
The London Palladium was the place to be. And people used to come there. It was that there was a black market to get tickets and everybody was immaculately dressed. And, of course, the greatest thing of all was when we booked we were so successful at the Palladium that Ted could afford to do two shows on a Sunday, afternoon and evening. And then, of course, we booked Ella Fitzgerald, Nat King Cole, Sarah Vaughan, and the Four Freshmen, and that was great.
Lena Horne was another of the visiting stars glad of the backing of Ted and his fans.
I think they were very good to me as an audience. And I worked with Jack Parnell and Ted Heath's orchestra, and there was food rationing as well as clothing rationing, and the British people would bring me, from their coupons, they'd buy me handkerchiefs and soap and lovely eggs. They'd bring an egg in, and I thought that was, that touched me greatly.
Ted owed Jack Parnell a little for setting up the Palladium tradition. Against all that, it might be said that Jack was at the heart of a certain insubordinate trend in the band, which didn't always respect Ted Heath's disciplinarian approach, not even when it came to choosing which number to play next.
Hammersmith Paley, I remember, he shouted, OK, 43, and somebody would shout, ah, no, not that, damn it, 85. OK, Adam, we played 85. Very naughty.
Eventually, it was a saxophonist, and a famous one, who became the focus of this disharmony, but not for long.
Ronnie Scott was in the band. Ronnie didn't like getting up early in the morning and getting on the coach or the train. So at his own expense, he used to fly. And Ted hated this. And most of the time he made it, but of course he did it in the winter. He didn't make the gig. And this was Ted's opportunity to get rid of him, you see. Which he did. He fired him. Then we all got together, Dave Goldberg and myself, all the guys, and we said, he can't sack Ronnie. If he sacks Ronnie, we're all going to leave, aren't we? So he said, yes. So I stomped off, and there's about eight of us all stomping off, and I'm in the lead, march up to the door of his dressing room, knock on the door. He says, come in. I go in, and I look him straight in the face, and I said, Ted, if you sack Ronnie, we're all going to leave, aren't we, fellas? And I turn round. There wasn't one person there. And I thought, musicians.
If you ever plan to motor west, travel my way, take the highway, that's the best. Get your kick on Route 66. It winds from Chicago to L.A. That's more than 2,000 miles all the way. So get your kick on Route 66. It winds from St. Louis, Joplin, Missouri, and Oklahoma City is mighty pretty, you'll see. Amarillo, Gallup, New Mexico, Flagstaff, Arizona, don't forget Winona, Kingman, Pasco, San Bernardino, won't you get hip to this timely tip? When you make that California trip, so get your kick on Route 66. get hip to this timely tip. When you make that California trip, so get your kick on Route 66.